the DJs Woo. Of the morning.
Yes, welcome to us.
Tunes to your morning Maryland commute.
Yeah, and I'm the person who plays the funny sound effects. Megan, why are you farting?
No, probably because I ate beans on toast for breakfast.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Ooh, looks like there's an ass in here.
I would kill you if you were that person.
If I was a sound effects DJ?
But like that kind specifically. who's just a jerk.
Megan, I didn't even get to the boner noise. That was coming up next.
Boing. I was going to say it's a boing, right? Yeah. All right. Yep.
Megan, okay. Fun fact.
What?
I used to host a morning radio show like that.
Oh, why?
I was not that jerk, though.
Good.
No.
Good.
Now my days are more sophisticated, where I host a show about magic and I say dumb things.
Yeah, speaking of, this is nothing if not a dumb morning show about magic.
If it was
contemporary tombs.
I mean, if it was that good, I would be happy. You know, I would be happy.
All right. This is Magic the Amateuring. I am one of your hosts, Megan.
I'm your other host, Maria.
And I personally actually really hate morning radio DJs.
Why?
Because they always talk and they don't just play music. So there
That's
was a couple
true.
Of years where I was a teacher and I just like, I would be so tired driving to work because it was so early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And up here, it's still dark. It like most of the year, I'd be driving to work and it'd still be dark out and I'd be exhausted and grumpy and I just want to listen to like some mindless like music, just like give me some music to ease my commute, and instead these two assholes will be fucking talking about
things. Did you hear what happened down in Padunk, Texas? You're not gonna believe this. Some lady with a bunch of pink flamingos put them on a lot of lawns,
and I'd just be like, why are you doing this to me? All I want is some music right now. Like, just play me a song, any song.
Thankfully the miracle of Pandora was born.
It's true,
and you did not have to have this problem anymore.
Also, I no longer have a terrible early morning commute, and I'm no longer a teacher, all of which have contributed to my life happiness.
Do you think that people are shouting that at this podcast because we're not talking about magic and we're just BSing right
there's
now?
There's totally a chance that someone, there's a listener
just
out there.
Just talk about magic already!
Why? Why are they not talking about magic?
Sorry, guys. We just got to warm up a little bit. It's like when you play golf, you swing two golf clubs just like you swing two bats when you warm up for baseball.
Do you really do that in golf?
Yes.
That's so silly.
You got to limber up.
That is so silly.
Don't you swing two fencing foils?
One, I fence saber. And two, no.
You fence saber?
Yeah, man.
Why did I think you fenced foil?
I have no idea.
I literally went to the fencing club with you.
Yeah, I know you did.
Wow. Some kind of friend I am.
Yeah, what a sucky friend. Maria, it was literally to the point where there were some mornings where I would imagine writing like hate mail to these DJs.
Megan,
I would in my mind construct a hate letter to them.
Do you know
about how terrible
how
they were?
How much hate mail they probably get?
Probably a lot. Probably a lot. And I never wrote it, but I like definitely thought about it.
They're
sometimes.
In a small black box with each other. They're probably sweaty. You know, the last
Poor
thing
people.
They had to eat was a McDonald's. So,
oh, man.
It's a rough life.
If only they could just shut up and give me some tunes.
Anyway, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about GP Madison, because guess what, Home Slices? We were just there.
It was miraculous.
It was miraculous.
It was amazing.
Filled
with
cheese.
Yep, filled with cheese. It was a miracle on the level of walking on water.
I agree. We also ate cheese when we were there in the form of a combo.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a pizza combo.
Maria was horrified.
Gross. Just give me cheddar cheese combos. You know what I mean?
No.
Anyway. GP Madison, we're going to talk about that, how we did, the things we did there, as well as we're going to teach you some lessons. Lessons from GP Madison. Megan and I both learned some things when we were there.
Yeah, we sure did.
We
some
grew as humans
lessons.
And players.
Yep.
And human players.
We are both taller now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I am, by approximately 1/4 inch.
Well, congratulations.
We're also going to talk about our thoughts on the draft and sealed environment in Battle for Zendikar. If you want to know, it's early in the format. If you want some hot tips, we've got them here for you. As well as some Mad Libs coming up later in the show. Listener requested Mad Libs.
We're bringing them to you. Hot tips. Get your hot tips here. Extra, extra. Read these hot tips. God.
Old-timey newscaster. So everybody, Megan and I went down to GP Madison this past weekend. We drove the old Ford Fiesta down there. Lime green Ford Fiesta.
Yes. The baller of the balleriest of all
of
cars.
All cars. Agreed. And we had a great time. It was sealed was the format of GP Madison. Mm-hmm. We had a great time cracking some packs. Megan opened an Expedition.
I sure
like
did.
Like a boss.
I opened a polluted Delta. You guys, my heart stopped for a second.
I believe it.
It's beautiful.
I feel like I could feel it across the room when you opened that.
I like didn't know what to do. My mind went blank.
And then what did you do?
And then I just like...
Did you say anything?
Scooped up all my cards and put them in the box. And then the guy across me was like, do you want to put that in a sleeve? And I was like, oh, you know, you're right. I should do that.
Yeah, because there's a new way to register sealed pools at GP Madison on account of Expeditions. So yes. Instead of having to pass once you open them and feel horrible about yourself, you got
or
to just keep it.
Or drop and not get to play the event that you came to play because you feel like you're like many people and you're like $200 in the bank is...
Yeah, I'm taking that.
I mean, solid. It's a good deal.
Drop and play sides, man. You know?
Yep.
Some people do that. And to sort of help that
keep that from happening?
Stop that from happening.
Yep.
Wizards came up with a new system, which is just you open your packs, your neighbor observes you opening them, you put them in the box, you swap, and they register your pool, you register their pool, you get it back, and you make your deck. Megan, how did you feel about this new process?
Loved it.
I loved it too.
Way better.
So much
way better than the old process.
Because I hated it. You were like, oh, everybody's saying, oh, this pool's so great. Oh, it sucks that I have to ship it.
Yeah.
There was none of that.
I do say no. Are you kidding? I had the new problem of everyone talking about everybody's pool. Everyone was talking about it. Like seemed to encourage talking, at least in my sections of the tables where I was.
I guess maybe I wasn't annoyed by it as much because before I was like, just shut up. Because
that's
if you're
true.
Like, this pool sucks, whoever gets this is going to suck. And then I got it and I was like, great.
Great. And then also people would be wrong a lot.
Yeah, well, that's
true.
People
are wrong a lot about sealed. Yeah. I'm wrong a lot about sealed.
It's a tough format.
It really is.
But I want to applaud Wizards for that change. I think it was great. I did hear somebody complaining next to me because I think they thought it took too long to explain this new system. But
it took less time to get it done. It took less time to get the whole thing done. It just felt like less sloppy.
I agree.
It was just very clean. It's like the only person that I have to worry about passing crap to is this person across from me.
Right, because you'd be like, wait, am I passing to this? Wait, did they say the pass again?
Are they saying pass right? Are they saying pass left? What do I do if I'm at the end of the table? There's no one next to me. What's going on?
So I personally hope that Wizards keeps this.
I thought it was great.
Going forward because I loved it.
I also love that it's now randomized seating instead of by
last
alphabet.
Name.
Last name, just because then there's all new people all the time.
I know. So I had grown accustomed to knowing the people around me, actually.
No more. We're
no
shaking
more.
Up your environment.
Shake it up. Shake it off. Anyway.
Didn't we last week sing a Shake It Up variation of Shake It Off?
We did.
Just double checking.
Yeah, so Megan and I were on the floor and we recorded some interviews with people during GP Madison, including interviews with each other.
That's right.
As the event was happening.
Don't ever interview someone else if you're not prepared to interview yourself first.
That's the first thing they teach you in journalism school.
I'm sure it is.
The
I'm
questions
sure
you asked another are really being asked of yourself, like, Bill Clinton, did you or did you not have sexual... Well, that person was asking that question inside himself. Yeah. He was like,
before he even got to ask that question of Bill Clinton, he had to like sit down
and
ask
really
himself.
Think about it. Did
I,
have
sexual
relations
with that woman?
Oh, God. So you're going to hear some really fun stories from the floor. And as well, you're going to kind of go along with us as we proceed through the tournament. And we'll come back and see you guys on the other side.
All right, Maria, we're sitting here. It's after round two. We are at GP Madison. Tell me what is what?
Well, I feel like I have a real bad deck. And that has been backed up by the two losses I've received.
Maria, what do you feel like is... You mentioned this even before round one, I think, that you felt like your deck was weak. What do you feel like makes it weak?
So I would say for sure lack of an early game makes it weak, so that means no two drops. I do have one two drop, but that is it. And I think you need to have that in Sealed, despite Sealed being a traditionally slower format. Just because there are allies running around, there are pretty strong two and three drops that you would need to be able to block successfully. That being said, I would also add that it is clogged at three and then has no payoff. So I would say it's slow with no payoff. A lot of removal, but nothing good to follow that removal up with.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I think everyone is thinking of Battle for Zendikar. You know, it has these giant Eldrazis in it. People want to cast them, especially in Sealed. It's a slower format, but the truth is that there are a really solid set of good two and three drops that people are playing, and you need to be playing some amount of them. And my deck has the exact same issue. I had four two drops in my entire pool spread out across four colors. So I'm playing, you know, two drops, which is just, I mean, I think it really makes a big difference.
I agree. And some formats you can get away with just kind of ignoring your two drops shot and Sealed. I don't think this is one of them. And there's just nothing exciting happening in my deck.
Hold on. I just want to take a pause to shout out the guy in the kilt and the great socks and the vest who just walked past us. It was an amazing outfit that dude was wearing.
I was looking at him. He came by earlier and I was like, kilt alert. Did you not hear that? I said
no.
I said kilt alert.
Maria, obviously you need to up the volume on your kilt alerts. They're not. This is like, you know, when at the beginning of every month they test the tornado sirens.
Oh.
We've tested your kilt alert siren, and it's not loud enough.
All right, ready? I'm going to do it again.
I'm going to look for the nearest safe space to retreat to.
Kilt alert!
Magic story of my life.
Oh my god.
Yes, we want to hear the most embarrassing magic story of your life.
Okay.
Everybody, this is our friend Greg. He's great. He's also from Minneapolis. He's here at GP Madison also. We're going to take a second to celebrate that he is 6-1. That's amazing.
And there's two more rounds left, so.
Exactly. And then our friend Sam is at 7-0. Say hi, Sam.
Hi, but talk to Greg first.
Okay, Greg, tell us this most embarrassing magic story.
Okay, so this is at the 4-1 table at a Grand Prix. And my opponent had just cast a Planar Outburst. I had to overextend, kill Obnixilus. My board was huge. He Planar Outbursts. So he has a 4-4 land. We both have empty hands. I draw some nothing for a while. He draws a Kozilek's Channeler. Okay, another 4-4. So he has two 4-4s on the board. I have nothing, right? And I'm at... And then, so he attacks, I go down to 8 life, and he passes the turn. And I'm thinking for a while about outs that are in my deck to these two 4-4s while I'm at 8. And I draw the top card of my deck, and it's Touch of the Void, a 3-mana burn spell. It does 3 damage. And I'm like, man, this doesn't kill any of his 4-4s. And so I pick up my cards and scoop. Now, why was this the most embarrassing magic story of my life, you may ask?
Oh my god, I really hope it's what I think it is. I really hope so.
My opponent's life total was 3.
Yes! Oh my god.
So to context, I won the match. It's okay. We got there in game 3 and it was fine. But it was embarrassing because I picked up my cards and started shuffling and he goes, phew, I really thought you were going to draw that burn spell. And then I looked over at his life total and was like, oh god, just don't say anything.
Oh
just start
god.
Shuffling. Just And I was like, I can't lose. I need, like, if I lose this match, I will never forgive myself. So,
Greg, it takes a lot of guts to tell a story like that. Thank you for sharing your moment with us. We have all been there.
I was there twice today, in fact.
So it's okay. That's amazing and terrible, and I'm glad you won that match.
I cast what I thought was the thing that makes two scions in green, but instead it was the fight card, and I, like, put out the two scions, and, like, my opponent didn't even realize it because the cards look very similar, and somebody watching the game was like, that is not that card. And I'd already passed the turn back to him. Anyway, shame. Shame on me.
Amazing.
What happens in that situation?
It was just a casual draft.
Oh,
so
sure.
We were just like, oh, back up.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I don't actually know what happened. You probably have to go back to the...
Yeah.
At this point, you're going to have to edit some of this out. Okay. Sam, tell us a little bit about your 7-0 deck.
It's not like a real archetype. It's kind of crazy. It's very synergy driven, and I'm playing colorless devoid spells in red and in green. And the deck wins with Barrage Tyrant and Gruesome Laughter
is also a great name for that card.
Gruesome Laughter.
I'd like to take credit for that. I was the one who called it that first. Anyway.
I mean, it could be Gruesome Laughter is like what your opponent does when you cast that card. They're just like,
That's what I do. I'm like, your 7-8 is dead because I'm killing it with 8/1s.
Amazing. So it looks great. It's a red-green devoid deck for the most part. And you guys, it is super cool, and it is totally getting there. So good luck to both of you in the coming rounds. Any words of wisdom? Sam, you said this is your first individual GP. Greg, have you been to many GPs?
This is my third.
He's day-2'd both of the other ones. So.
Oh my god, Greg, you're just secretly over here being quietly amazing. Okay, so any tips from a first time and a fourth time Grand Prixer?
Give me a second to think about this. Sorry.
Okay, Greg.
Let's see. Definitely at a GP, especially if you drive a long time, it's different than like getting up and walking to your store that's 10 minutes away and playing Magic. That's like not that big of a commitment. But driving multiple hours and coming down to a GP, that's, you've invested a lot of time. So it becomes this much more serious game where you're like, I really need to do my best. And now it's hypocritical of me to say this given the story I just told.
I mean, one could say that it would be very important to say, check your opponent's life total before scooping with a burn spell in hand.
I don't immediately think of that card as a burn spell, honestly. I think of it as a 3 mana to a creature. Yeah. I mean, 3 damage to a creature spell. I have to be honest with you, I also did not know it went to the face.
Yeah.
Alright, sorry. We interrupted you.
Yeah, so anyway, I would say Magic at a Grand Prix is a lot more intense than Magic at your local game store, just because it's serious, and people take it very seriously, too. So, you know, just come ready to play. Do play your best Magic, and, you know, hopefully you'll get there. If you don't, just try again next time, so.
Nice. All right, Sam, back to you.
I was going to say, don't get married to, like, the decks you know exist.
There was, like, a perfect pause after you said, don't get married.
Just don't get married. Just don't do it.
What advice do you have for a Grand Prix? Don't get married.
It's going to be a quick marriage shotgun wedding. You're both just in love with Magic, not each other. Wait it out.
You're going to be so wrapped up in the Grand Prix and the exciting experience of it, but don't get married. It's a bad trap. Anyway, sorry. We interrupted you also.
Okay. I was going to say just look for synergies in your pool because I have a lot of landfall cards, but red-green landfall is worse than red-green devoid. And if I had gone with my gut and just gone red-green landfall, then my deck would be a lot worse.
I totally find myself falling into that trap all the time. That is super great advice. Thank you both. Yay!
Yeah, thanks.
Everybody, I'm in the wilds of the hotel for the GP. Day 2 has just started, and we're here at breakfast. And I just heard the greatest GP story that I've heard this weekend. I've heard a lot of good stories. My friend, will you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them the story that you witnessed?
Sure. I'm Kevin, and we were at the Foiled again, playing, I believe, in round 1. And there was this little girl a couple tables over, and she beat this guy in turns. Clearly slow playing, but she turns everything to the side, she attacks with whatever, and she wins the game. And as the guy's walking away, she says to him, I hope you win your next round, because you just got beat by an 11-year-old, and he's not very good at this game.
Oh my god, such sass. I love this girl. Where is she? And what's the second part of this story after this guy was beat by this lovely lady?
So later, I think in round 4, she was playing, or he was, the guy from that round was playing her dad while she was watching, and they drew because they went to turns.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Slow playing runs in the family.
All right, we're here. It's day 2 of the Grand Prix. We're playing in the Super Sunday Series Sealed. Maria, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so neither Megan nor I day 2'd, unfortunately. But we do love the Super Sunday Series, which is like our jam. And we're playing Sealed. My deck is pretty good. Blue-black Eldrazi times. And I have the 6 drop that just kills everything when you tap it, or when you tap the Eldrazi to do damage to target creature equal to their power. So that's a good card in my deck. Sitting here at 1-1, what are you doing?
Well, I am also sitting here 1-1 after going 4-3 yesterday. Climbed back up from 1-2 to win 3 before losing my third one. Today I am playing a green, white, allies, and just rares. And I feel quite good about it. I think my deck's only weakness is that I really only have 2 pieces of removal. I have a Smite the Monstrous, and I have a Royal's Retribution, which are both, you know, like, very mediocre removal. But my deck can put a lot of pressure on. I have Lantern Guide to gain a lot of life. I've got some big creatures. I have multiple times cast a turn 7 Breaker of Armies, thanks to either multiple Eyeless Watchers or Conduit of Ruin, who lets you tutor for it and then play it the next turn. It is actually pretty sick. That card is very good, because it's like, oh, here's my 5/5 for 6, and next turn I'll play a 10/8 for 6. NBD.
I think a card that I love in my deck is going to surprise you is Drana. Just kidding, it shouldn't surprise you. That card's amazing.
It does not surprise me.
But, like, the thing that's funny is I opened a Drana. The person I was sitting across from opened a Drana. The 2 people to our left also had Dranas in their...
This is really bad news for me, because I think I am very weak to Drana.
Yeah.
Everyone is. Everyone is weak to Drana. All right, well, we'll bring you some updates about how we're progressing through the Super Sunday series. Until then, peace out, Home Slices.
So there you have it, yeah.
I mean, but that's not the whole story.
No, it's not the end of the story.
It really isn't. We both ended up 2-2 dropping.
Yeah.
From the Super Sunday series.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I definitely felt like my deck was better than the day before.
What did you end up the day before? I don't know if you updated people or not.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I did. I actually ended up, I started out 1-2. I ended up climbing back to 4-2.
Yep.
Before losing a very close round 7 to a listener, actually, which was so lovely to meet someone. And it's always great to meet people. So that was nice. If I had to win the bubble round to anybody.
Yep. Lose the bubble round. To anybody.
To lose, to have someone else win it.
Yeah. A listener for sure.
A listener is a great person.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I played a listener before too, and that makes me feel a lot better, actually.
Exactly. It's like, all right. Because you know what? I feel like I learned most of all this weekend, Maria. We already knew it.
But yeah, we did.
I'm always reminded of it. Our listeners are just the best.
They are the best.
You guys are all the best. We're not just saying
no,
this.
No, I'm being like,
it's
for real.
Genuinely, like, the best part of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, even if I had, like, day 2'd, even if I had top 8'd the Super Sunday series,
mm-hmm.
my favorite part would still be meeting people, because it's so great.
We met so many amazing people. We autographed cute cards. I autographed a Desolation Twins, which I thought was great. Oh, Desolation Twin. I'm sorry, it's singular. I'm the one who makes it plural.
Yes.
We shook a lot of hands. We gave out a lot of wristbands. We gave a lot of high fives.
It
and
was
chuckles.
So wonderful catching up with so many people. It was great.
Yeah, I didn't do very well in the actual sealed portion of the GP, the main event, if I didn't mention that from those interviews either. But we did have a lot of fun, and we did pretty well in draft, which we're going to talk about in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Wait, have to talk about... Oh, wait, let's talk through the sealed real quick before we get to draft.
Sure.
So pretend like you're counting down, like, the decimals inside that 1, which you could parse to infinity.
Sure. Okay, got it.
So, you know, like, we're doing 1,
mm-hmm.
1, or, like, 0.99999, 0.999998. Right, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So in sealed, just really quickly, I wanted to mention, when I was... building my day 1 sealed, I had, again, I pulled a Polluted Delta. That was amazing. I also got an Omnixilis. That was great. And a couple of complete disregards.
Sick.
But my pool was exceedingly weak in everything that was like 3 and lower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just pretty bad. And I knew that going into it. And I definitely, the games that I lost, I got pretty punished for not having good early plays across really any of the colors.
Yeah, I agree with that. My pool was very similar to that. And I feel like it's just so important in this format. So not all sealed formats are this way, where I think you just got to have a few two drops at least to help yourself if you face a beatdown deck.
Yeah.
Or really just to help you stabilize a little better.
Exactly. Or even be the person applying some early pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think early board development matters more in this format than I realized.
Yeah.
You need to be doing something, and it can't be the many crappy things. There are always many crappy things to do at 1, 2, and 3, and I think it's pretty important to not be doing the crappy things.
What do you think are the crappy things?
I'm just talking about, like, there's like the 1/1 ally for one that can later on pump your team. Like, maybe if you're playing an allies deck in draft, that's going to work well. Or like the 1/2 Colostria healer who will gain drain for allies. Like, yep. If you're playing that not in a very strong allies
or
deck.
Life gain.
Or a life gain deck. Kind of stuff like that. There's a lot of cards that are good synergy cards. But if you're not, and that are in 1, 2, and 3, but if you don't have the synergies, like, they're just not good.
I'm wondering how you feel about a turn to anticipate, because I was hearing this past weekend that some people think the format's very slow.
Yes.
I don't know if I 100% agree with it. I do think you can have a very fast, actually sealed deck. Mm-hmm. And I think a turn to anticipate is fine if you can back it up with a 3-drop that can block a 2-drop.
I think I will counter with a spell shrivel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is something that I'm learning. I think that anticipate and spell shrivel and complete disregard and touch of the void are cards that I usually wouldn't count them as early plays because they're not creatures. But I think in this format, those do fall under the category of those are good things to be doing at 2 and 3.
Right.
Those are acceptable things to be doing at sealed in 2 and 3 in this format.
Because I think the decks that punish you for being slow are the allies deck and the landfall deck, right?
Yeah.
So.
And people are less likely to have crazy synergies mm-hmm. like that.
In sealed.
In sealed.
But if they're able to pull it off, mm-hmm. You need to deal with that. And if you can deal with it, then... You know, as it happens when you're playing control, then you take control of the game. But you need to be able to deal with their early threats.
Exactly. Again, like, anticipate is going to help you draw into better cards. Spell shrivel is going to just, like, again, like, take care of whatever their turn 3 or turn 4 play was.
Take care of it.
Just take care of it. All right. Same for complete disregard. Usually you think that we prioritize developing our board. I do think that this is a format where if my option is between playing a crappy 3-drop and playing a spell shrivel, in a lot of formats it'd be like, do you know what? I'm going to play a crappy 3-drop because board development is very important. I think in this format it's actually a good idea to play a spell shrivel or a complete disregard.
Just
use it as one of the spots, like at counting it as, you know, like a 3-drop spot.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because, like, the crappy creatures in this set really get outclassed by the better plays. So if your opponent is going to, if you're going to make a crappy 3-drop and your opponent's going to make a good 3-drop or a good 4-drop, mm-hmm. it's going to outclass your crappy 3-drop so hard. You would just rather spend the time taking care of their very good 3 or 4-drop. Rather
Here's something
than countering with a crappy 2.
Interesting that I thought. So I said this a lot during the weekend. I do think Battle for Zendikar is a very strong draft format.
Yes.
From what I've played so far, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I have enjoyed drafting this set so hard. Mm-hmm. Today at work, I was having withdrawal.
Oh, me too. Me too, buddy.
I was sitting at my desk. Just shaking,
I need a hit.
Salivating.
I was in the corner rocking back and forth, drooling.
Yeah, I was licking my desk.
To see if it had any residue of magic cards on
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
You're like, have magic cards been here?
We were watching some streaming and just being like, we need to play. But the reason I say that is because it's such a strong draft environment, I do think that makes for not a strong sealed environment. And I don't mean that it's bad. I just don't think that the two things can kind of coexist very well.
I would disagree there in that, like, I thought that Khans of Tarkir had great sealed and great draft, triple Khans, that is.
Yeah, that's true.
Specifically, but I do think it's important to note that, like, a good draft environment does not a good sealed environment make.
And the reason I assumed that is because sometimes they can be at opposition, right? So for a good draft environment, I think synergy is very important.
Yes.
And that can sometimes kind of hamper a good sealed environment, because if you cannot connect those synergies, then your pool just can't get off the ground.
Which I think is a little bit of what we're seeing in Battle for Zendikar. There are really good synergies, and they're not even necessarily just like two color combinations, right? It's not like to the level that like Celestinius Populate was in Return to Ravnica. Where it's like green white is just like, oh, that's what you do. Populate. It is what they do. Like, it's their jobs.
Yeah.
Here it's just sort of like, oh, there's lots of very strong interactions that are very favorable in draft. Interactions that you can set up that are favorable to set up. And if they don't always come together in sealed.
But, you know, something that somebody told me was they were so happy that the rares did not seem completely overpowered.
That is very true.
Yeah, I'm not coning. I don't know if I'm coning Oblivion Sower in that, or, you know, just like Void Winnower. But what I'm, you know, maybe I even am, because what they were saying is that you did not necessarily just lose if your opponent dropped a huge bomb.
Yeah. And I think part of that is because it's like, you know, a lot of times big bombs have a lot to do with like very good creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of very strong creatures across the board. There are lots of very good uncommon Eldrazi.
There's lots of good commons as well.
Exactly. Which can toe-to-toe with those real good.
Yeah. Cards. I'm thinking of the 2/2 in red that becomes a 4/4 with landfall.
Yeah, exactly. Which that's is a like, common. You know, you can put a lot of early pressure on as the alternative, you know, like don't let your opponent get to 8 or 9 mana.
No.
If you can, just put on enough pressure, or put on enough pressure that when they do get there, it's too late anyways.
We had a friend who day 2'd with a deck that, I mean, I thought was a very good example of this. He just had a bunch of Scion makers.
Yeah.
And he went wide.
Yeah. And it was very good. He also made a very good use of Gruesome Slaughter.
Oh boy.
Or Gruesome's Laughter, as they were saying it.
We talked about that earlier. Oh, so good. So yeah, good. Gruesome Slaughter, you guys.
Yeah,
that first was pick Sam. That and never look back.
Sam, who we had our interview segment with earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it was just, you know, that had a lot of colorless, or a lot of devoid synergy going on, which was very cool.
So, yeah, so what we're saying is that, you know, maybe it's not the perfect sealed environment, but you know what? I give it a pass because I love the draft so much. I love draft so much. So
absolutely. Also, note on sealed, I was chatting with someone who was like, oh, you should totally be playing Part the Water Veil. Which is the 6 mana, take an extra turn, 9 mana, take an extra turn, awaken 6.
Oh boy. But it's not just 9 mana, Megan. It's 6 blue, blue, blue.
It's 6 blue, blue, blue. But if you're at 9, the likelihood that you're going to have 3 blue is like pretty high up there.
I guess.
In 2 colors. Point is, it was very correct.
Yeah.
They were like, no, you're going to, in this format, you're going to get to, like,
that's
you're
crazy.
Gonna get to 9. Like, this format is slow enough. And you went, sure enough.
Part
like,
the Water Veil was good.
The 2 times that I cast it, so that was, it was at 2 and 2, and so I talked to them, and they were like, sideboard it in, like, postboard, always put it in. And, like, the 2 times that I cast it, like, it, one time it saved me from losing, like, in the next turn I would have lost, and then one time it, like, straight won me the game.
Wow. I never would have thought. I didn't even consider it when I was building my pool.
I know, and I don't know if in draft, like, you would have to work a lot harder to get to 9 mana, but in sealed, I think I, like, would do it again.
I played 3 colors in my first sealed pool, and I saw a lot of people doing that as well. However, I do think you still want to be in 2 if you can. I don't think the support for multiple colors is that good.
Yeah.
Is good enough,
I've heard that people are kind of being pushed into, people who made day 2 either were opened like a very clear strong 2 color deck, or they were going 3 colors.
Yeah, It's just not as easy to make that work as like cons or whatever. But
that's true. There's not as much fixing, but there are evolving wilds. If you're in green, there's lots of green ways to make it happen.
Lots of green ways to make it happen. The slogan for Oregon's new pot law.
Do we need funding for our schools? There's a green way to make it happen.
Do-do-do-do. Come on, any state that wants to legalize marijuana, we've got a slogan for you.
There's a green way to make it happen.
Oh, my God. Our school's drama department needs a new theater. There's a green way to make it happen. Did you know if Weed was a movie, it would have opened fifth?
What does that sentence mean, Maria? That sentence makes no sense.
I'm trying
to say... If Weed was a movie, it would have opened fifth?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means in Oregon, they recently passed, you know...
Okay.
You can carry a certain amount. Yeah, they legalized marijuana. Okay. And the opening weekend or whatever of marijuana sales would have been number 5 movie in the country. That's how much money it made. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's amazing.
Like $11 million or something like that.
Holy buckets.
It was a lot.
Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a green way to make it happen.
For the noobs, lessons from GP Madison. Well, you guys, you don't go to a GP and not learn something, whether it's learning a magic thing or somebody's phone number. You always come back with a little extra knowledge. I came back with some knowledge about punting.
Oh, Maria.
Yikes.
You punted some over the weekend.
Yikes. I had some really painful punts, you guys.
Oh, all right. Tell us about them. Punts. Let them all out. It's like snake venom. Got to draw that stuff out of the wound.
You have to suck it out of me. I killed Megan.
Worst analogy I've ever come up with.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you know what? Oh, we're going to put a tourniquet on you is what I'm saying.
Okay. So I'm the kind of person who not only in my magic life, but in my life needs to make the same mistake at least 3 times before I remember not to do it.
Oh, fair enough.
And I know other people are like that too, because somebody mentioned that to me at Madison. So I know I'm not alone. But I think the reason that is because I'm very intuitive. And so... my brain works in the way that it doesn't necessarily want to take time to, this sounds really bad, but think things completely out. I would rather just play by instinct.
your brain is like, fuck everything, YOLO.
YOLO. Well, it does make me sound like an idiot when I say it like that, but.
Maria, lots of brains suffer from YOLO syndrome.
I feel like Brian Wong used to say this too, that he plays more instinctually rather than sitting there and tanking for 5 minutes to find the correct line of play. Yeah. And I guess that's just how I am. And I prefer to play that way because it's more fun. If I sat there and tanked, I honestly don't think it would help me at all. I would just confuse myself.
I think that's YOLO syndrome getting to you.
Yeah.
Part of YOLO syndrome is that it tells you that life is not better when you think things through. It's how it maintains its YOLO control over your life.
Maybe you're right. Well, maybe I should start thinking about this more because what happened was I made several enormous errors, which caused me to lose some important matches. So in Super Sunday Series, I was playing against somebody. Mm-hmm. What happened to me? Oh, yeah. So I had frozen down my opponent's awakened land. Mm-hmm. And was going to swing in and had done the math to calculate that I would win. Mm-hmm. Because I froze it down. He moved it off to the side. We continued playing. And I'm like, yes, I've got this game in the bag, swung with everything. Next turn, I'm like, it's fine. I probably left back 1 block or I don't remember. The math worked out. He just scoots the land back into the red zone. And I was like, no, I completely forgot about the awakened land.
And to be clear, he hadn't pushed it way off to the side.
No. It wasn't a douche move. It was just he moved it off.
Yeah.
So he didn't think it was not frozen.
Gonna untap or something.
And that was my bad. I should have been aware of the entire battlefield, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I should not have forgotten that I had just done that 2 turns ago. But I did. And so I lost. And it just was the worst. The worst feeling. And I could felt, I felt my face get so hot. And I just like, I punted that so bad. Because it was just stupidity, right? I had no excuse. I had no excuse.
Those are the worst feelings when you're like, I had no excuse.
Yep.
Yeah.
No excuse. My second time this happened was when I was playing a draft. It was in the finals. So you know what? Whatever. It was fine. Like, I did pretty well.
Maria.
What?
That's YOLO syndrome. It's not fine.
Thank you for always pointing out my YOLO syndrome.
No problem, man.
So I should have won, as Megan says. I was in the finals, and what had happened is I had a green warden of Marasa. Is that how you say it?
Marasa? Something like
probably
that.
Probably Marasa. Green warden of Marasa. Are you asking
me how I'm supposed to pronounce a fictional name?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a 4-5 for 6.
5-4 for 6.
5-4 for 6.
4 green, green.
Yep. And what it happens is when you play it, it's awesome. You get a card back from the graveyard to your hand.
Yep. And when it dies, you can choose to exile it.
Yep.
And you get another one.
So this card is stinking good. It's a mythic.
It is stinking good.
However, I assume because it was green that you only got a creature back with it.
Fair enough.
But
creatures are green.
I mean, isn't that normally how green cards, they get back creatures. They don't care about other shit.
Not necessarily. Black has a lot of return creatures from your graveyard to your hand. Green actually has a fair number of get anything back.
Really?
Yep.
Name one, literally one other card.
Restock.
Okay. So that's correct. So I just assume it got back creatures.
Wait, I'm going to make sure that I'm not YOLO syndroming here and that restock. That okay. I'm just not just like, I'm going to show you.
I should have RTFC and noticed that it said get any card back. Not just a creature. So I did not get back my burn spell, which would have won the game.
Whew.
Or, it was a kill spell. It was an outnumber. No, I did not. I got back a creature, which did nothing. And I lost.
Ouch.
And he was like, I thought for sure you're going to get back that outnumber and kill my threat. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to say a quick PSA here, too. Touch of the Void, that's 3 damage to a creature or a player.
Yep.
It goes to the face as well.
Well, we just heard Greg's story.
Yep. I did not know that until Greg told me. So
yeah, restock,
I think I
is
said that before.
Cards.
So anyway, punting. So my solution is going to be, Maria, please don't do what you normally do and try and make the same mistake 3 times, because then I usually do remember it forever.
Yeah.
And I get it in my body instead of just thinking it in my head. I will try to assess the board state and play more slowly. I know I've said this on the show before, and I think I have slowed down my play, but I think I need to slow it down another step.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's my lesson learned.
All right. Here is mine. And this is something that I kind of knew already, but it's something that I'm working on addressing still, which is that I have a sweet spot for playing. So I mentioned, like, I went 1-2, and then I won the next 3 rounds. And
yeah.
And the last one was very close. And that's because I have noticed that I am very bad in the early rounds of a tournament. I do not warm up into the game well.
Why do you think you're playing worse?
I think, I wish that I had a good answer for you right now, but I don't. Maybe I have a little bit of YOLO syndrome in the morning myself, inspired by sleep.
Yeah, you're just too tired.
Yeah, or just that, like, my brain hasn't, like, clicked into gear yet, right? Magic does use a different set of decision-making tools and a different, like, type of thinking. Than just putting on pants, which, like, to be fair, I wear a lot of button-fly high-waisted pants, which are not as easy to put on as normal pants,
no,
but it's still not the same. It's still not the same, you guys.
I agree.
So that is something that I really need to work on, because I, like, looking back over those first 2 rounds, like, it's very hard for me to assess what I should have done differently, because my brain was just not in that space yet.
So what are you going to do, Megan?
I have quite likely lost a lot of early rounds of Magic, and looking at my past record, like, it is a trend. I do lose a lot of early rounds I warm up into a game.
Can I posit this? That also, I feel more comfortable playing after I've lost a game.
Oh, no. I like winning.
Oh. Well, I mean, like, I don't mean I'd
like
losing.
That sweet high.
But I mean, like, I feel less pressure. If I've lost a match, I'm like, okay, now I will win.
Oh, Yeah, that's
isn't that weird?
Enough. Yeah. And I totally get that. I believe that that is probably something that a lot of people experience. Anyway. Either one way or the other. They either are better players. Like, I know that there are a lot of players who play worse once they've lost one. Like, they lose one and then they're just kind of on a downhill.
Yeah.
They're riding that avalanche.
And I'm like, I'm going to ride that avalanche to victory.
Yeah. And some people are like, I'm on an avalanche of defeat. It is going to bury me.
Is that a magic card?
Avalanche of defeat?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be.
It's two... red, red, red. Ugh, whoa. And you destroy all lands of one color type of your opponent.
I think to make this at all a thing, you would have to make it like all lands of one type.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like all, it would be like all islands. Yeah. Do you think that's a fair cost?
I mean, they've printed cheaper cards that are more hateful. They don't really anymore, but they have in the past.
It's been a long time since we've created a card, Megan, on this show.
It really has.
Avalanche of Defeat.
Avalanche of
Two
Defeat.
Two red, red, red.
Destroy all basic lands of one type.
I love it.
Sure. Maybe. Let's get aggressive with this cost. Let's cost it 2 red, red.
What? No, they would not print that.
Oh, yeah. Think about Blood Moon.
That was a long time ago.
Think about Choke. Look up how much Choke is. I think it's like 2 and a green.
Choke is a book.
What? Choke is something that happens when you swallow food wrong.
Do you know that book? It's called Choke. It's very famous.
No.
It's about a guy who likes to do it a lot of places.
What? Why is that the name for that?
Probably because some weird sex thing. I haven't read it.
Well, then why are you telling me the synopsis?
I don't know. Anyway.
Maria, this story does not add up.
I apologize. I apologize.
So anyways.
So what the heck are you going to do about it, Megan?
Do you know what? I think, and this is something that I have, that I used to do and was very helpful, but I need to find someone.
Getting slapped in the face.
To slap me in the face. No.
Oh.
To play a game with me. To play a game. I just need to sit down and play a game of Magic before I get started. It can be with my deck. That would probably be ideal. But at like the very least, just like getting a game of Magic, getting my brain into that space.
What if you just brought a draft deck or whatever with you, and that way you could play before you even had to sit?
Exactly.
For Sealed.
Like, something like that I think would be very helpful for me.
Okay.
Really get those cogs turning. The other, and this is like a parenthesis, right? That's the opening side of the bracket.
Right.
It's the opening quotation. The close quotation is something that I think we've talked about before, called decision fatigue. 100% also happened to me. I think that there's a very high chance that I lost a game that I could have won in that 7th round due to decision fatigue, which is just this thing that happens to you when you spend a long time making decisions and decisions and decisions. Your brain gets tired and it's like, fuck this.
And it's an actual scientific thing. People
really
have studied
is.
This. It's a real deal.
It's why they put all of that junk at the end of grocery stores, like right in the checkout aisle, because your brain is no longer like,
no.
Do you know what? I spent all day comparing that generic brand of pasta sauce to the nice brand of pasta sauce and making a decision about which one we should buy.
Megan, I spent no more than 8 minutes in any grocery store I enter.
Okay, that's because you hate grocery stores.
I hate them.
Maria, I'm so bad at picking things.
Like, that you just take forever.
I take forever. I just look at them. And it can be something like vitamins.
And you're just like,
and I'll just like stand there staring at the wall of vitamins, and I'm like, I came in here for vitamin C, but there's like 8 different choices and I can't pick.
Do you know that I'm only friends with people who love grocery shopping?
No.
And like are very slow about it?
I don't know that I love it.
I feel like opposites attract. You're slow grocery shopping and my speedy grocery shopping.
And if ever you meet someone who also hates grocery shopping, you're going to have a Highlander moment.
One of us has to behead the other.
Yeah. So right. Be ready is all that I'm saying.
You act like I don't have a sword in my bedroom.
So decision fatigue, I think, is definitely, and that's something that it's just like, right? I feel like it's kind of like YOLO syndrome, where your brain is just like, I'm peace the fuck out, bro.
If you guys have any lessons you've learned from any GPs you've recently attended, or things or tips maybe you want to give us about either of the things we struggle with, we would love to hear them. Please tweet at us at MTAcast or send us an email, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com. Battle for Zendikar Draft.
We're going to speed through this portion because we've been chatting your ears off.
We have.
Are they warm? because you're wearing headphones? Are they warm because we're talking about you?
Are they warm because you're wearing earmuffs? Are they warm because you have two heated pieces of cheese attached to your ears?
Don't do that.
What?
That's gross.
Why?
Why would you heat cheese and then...
People eat cheese all the goddamn time, Megan.
And then put it on your ears.
Have you ever had Velveeta dip?
On my ears? No.
You haven't lived.
You heard it here first, folks. If you haven't had Velveeta cheese dip on your ears, you haven't lived.
Megan, you live in Minnesota now. We learn to deal with the cold temperatures in any way possible.
By putting hot cheese on your ears.
Maybe you just have two cats. One for each ear.
That's great.
Like that two kittens great. On your shoulder, and they've great. Cuddled into your ears.
Yeah.
Adorable. Aww, that's adorable. I hope that's happening to at least one person out there in the world right
Me
now.
Me too.
Draft. Okay, draft. We've already said we love it.
We True. Love it.
Great. I drafted twice at the GP and was in the finals of both drafts. No big deal. I'm bragging. Guess what I drafted both times?
What?
Landfall.
Nice.
Red-green landfall, which is totally in my wheelhouse because it's very beat down.
Yeah.
And tricks. And I love beat down and tricks. So, whew. What, Megan? What are you giggling about?
Those are my two favorite cereals.
Beat down. Oh my god, well I'm behind you on tricks, but what the heck is beatdown? I've never
Don't
had
worry
that.
About it.
Seems like it would be like some kind of chocolate chunks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So beatdown tricks. I had two of the leopard that pumps. It's a 1-1 for one to become a 2-2. I had two of our friend Snapping Gnarled, which is just a well-known solid card. And I would say I liked the leopard in this deck. And I wasn't sure about it. It was kind of an experiment. I was like, well, let's try it out, see if it sucks or not. Some people say it's not good. I liked the leopard in this deck. Leopard into Snapping Gnarled into basically any 3-drop. I feel like they were so far behind that they just couldn't handle it when I did a sure strike on something +3/+1. You know, like they had...
+3/+0 and first strike.
And first strike, sorry. Yeah, so, you know, it was just too rough for them to come back. I felt like I couldn't lose that deck, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't
Except
often have that feeling.
Except when you forgot to outnumber your opponent.
Shh. Yes.
The second draft, you and I just straight up gambled and got in the same single Elim queue.
Yeah, we did.
We were YOLO syndroming hard.
It worked out, Megan.
And it did. We were on opposite sides of the bracket and met in the finals. Yeah. Where we just split because we were exhausted.
Yeah.
We were two zombies.
We were two zombies.
If we had entered the battlefield, then we would have been tapped.
Yeah. And we would have been bounced. We would have gone nowhere because we were tokens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I drafted Landfall again. I think I had another sweet deck. Not as sweet as my first one, but still pretty sweet.
Yeah. I drafted red-black Devoid aggro.
Nice.
Which was just a ton of fun and very good.
That seems a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a Barrage Tyrant, which is 2 and a red, sack a colorless creature, and it deals damage equal to that creature's power to
Sick.
An opponent or creature. And I got to finish someone off by Barrage Tyranting an Eldrazi Devastator.
Is that a rare?
The Barrage Tyrant? Yeah.
Was that your P1?
No. Huh. I got past that. I first picked a Gruesome's Laughter.
Yep.
Gruesome Slaughter. I do have to say that card is not good with big Eldrazis, as it is not as good with those as it is with a lot of 2, 3, and 4-drop Eldrazi.
Yeah, I agree.
You want a lot of Vestige of Emrakul's. You want a lot of Culling Drones, Dominator Drones. Even just Scions. And then that card is very good. You want to be able to cast it on 6, not have to wait until you've drawn another one of these big ones. So I was like, do you know what? We're going to force draft this. Like, I'm going to first pick sucker.
I would.
I'm going to force draft colorless or force draft Devoid. It was great.
Do you know what I had three of in my sideboard but did not play?
What?
Aligned Hedron Network. It's a rare.
Yeah, man.
I didn't play them because I didn't really need them in my beatdowns because I didn't really care.
Yeah.
But I would say Landfall is a really fun deck. It's the one I've played the most. Played blue-black control, which is also really fun, ingest and process, and had success with that as well. So far, I've not found anything that I was like, this is weak. At the Community Cup, I played green-white tricks. I loved that as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Absolutely. I also wanted to mention, so I had a really weird experience, like round 1. I played a guy and like So the only two times that I lost in each round were when I kept two land hands and didn't get the three for a long time.
Yeah.
Those were the only games that I lost. And in game one of round one, I played this guy. And to be fair, he was playing things. The game was not, I was not obviously mowing him down. But there was never a point in the game that I was like, I'm not going to win this.
Yeah.
I felt very good the whole time. And then at the end of it, he was like, at the end of game one, he was like, well, at least that was close. And what he didn't realize was that I had four cards in hand. I had three because I cast my Barrage Tyrant. On eight, I cast Barrage Tyrant and in the same turn sacked the Devastator to eight his face. But I had a turn against in my hand and then like some other like good
you're like,
card.
No, honey, it was
and
never
he had
close.
No cards in hand. And I was just like, anyways, just another reminder. Always check cards in hand. Big resource. Yeah.
Are you saying this is your advice? Don't ignore the cards you have in your hand.
Don't ignore the cards that you have in your hand. But don't ignore like
your opponent. What your opponent could
card.
Have.
In hand, exactly.
Yeah, I played an opponent who said to me, you could have beat me so much earlier in a game. Yeah. And this was in Super Sunday series.
Wait, Maria?
What?
Can we put a pin in this and talk about it next week? Because I think that this is like a really big topic that we could take a lot of time to talk about.
What do you mean? What your opponent could have?
No, but because you spoke with me about this issue of playing it safe versus playing against what your opponent could have in hand.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we'll check in next week.
Teaser. That's a teaser for trailer. You. Okay, I better make a note of that. That's
Maria, you literally just scribbled some loops on a piece of paper. Like, who are you doing that for?
Megan, that's my
Our
reminder.
Our listeners cannot see.
That's
you
my
doing
reminder
that.
Right there.
You're just doing it to convince you and I that you're writing a note when we both know that was a lie.
It looks like I wrote Ellen.
Oh, it kind of does.
Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Because it is a great topic.
Okay, cool.
Very excited.
Let's do a fun thing.
Yeah, bro.
Fart noise.
We have cracked a pack from wonderful listener Vicky, who we met at Grand Prix Madison.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely to meet you on both Saturday and Sunday.
Well, we really only met her on Saturday,
okay,
and then
met
we
her
knew
on Saturday,
her on
and
Sunday.
And then we knew her on Sunday. It was so it was so great to meet and then continue to get to run into you over the course of the tournament.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the pack. And we are going to present now with cards from this pack, Flavor Text Mad Libs.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
All right.
These are my favorites.
Maria, we have a lot, so we're going to try and fly through them, all
okay,
right?
Okay, I'll
just
try and be
first
fast.
First thing that comes to your mind, I need a noun.
Sheep's head.
Okay, I need a proper noun.
Mark Rosewater.
Noun.
Chicken liver.
And I need a noun.
Tickly feet.
Okay. So this is our first one. One of the first cards out of this pack is Incubator Drone. Three and a blue for a 2/3 plus a scion. The quote, the flavor text on it reads, mm-hmm. The touch of an Eldrazi brings life and death in turn. Our new flavor text reads, the sheep's head of Mark Rosewater brings chicken liver and tickly feet in turn.
Wow, that sounds like some kind of weird
fetish. Very bizarre fetish.
Very strange, specific fetish.
All right. Maria, I need a noun.
Sex stuff.
Verb.
My verb I thought was it's so bad.
Oh my god, okay, but it's too terrible.
Okay, whacking it.
A noun.
Your pube. Is it singular or plural? This is gonna be a very sexy one.
This one is this is Serene Steward,
okay.
One in a white for an uncommon 2/2. The quote says, I can give you strength, but you'll have to bring your own courage.
Oh my god.
The new flavor text reads, I can give you sex stuff, but you'll have to whack your own pubes.
Wiser words have never been uttered. I mean, I can give you sex stuff, but you're going to have to whack your own pubes because I'm not shaving you.
You'll have to whack them yourself. Also, apparently you need a weed whacker for them. Get that checked out.
Okay, sure.
All right. I need a person.
Marie Antoinette.
Oh, we know her.
Mm-hmm.
I need a place.
Butthole.
Maria, give me what? A different place.
Okay, like an actual place?
Like an actual place.
A Denny's bathroom.
Thank you. A historical event.
Ooh, great question. The birth of a Johnny Goldman.
Okay. I need a noun.
Fork.
A noun.
Okay, great. Dirty belly button.
All right. All right. So, very appropriately, because we've talked about it so much, the rare out of this pack is Gruesome's Laughter.
Oh, Gruesome's
or
Laughter.
Or Gruesome Slaughter.
Okay, great.
And the quote says, though Gideon arrived at Seagate too late to prevent the massacre, he still had enough time to lead its survivors to relative safety.
Nice.
Our new flavor text reads, though Marie Antoinette arrived at a Denny's bathroom too late to prevent the birth of a Johnny Goldmane. She still had enough fork to lead its dirty belly button to relative safety.
Marie Antoinette arrived at a Denny's bathroom too late. Right.
We could just stop it there. Was,
I just think that's where late. It needs to end, yep. Personally. Oh, that's good.
All right, last one. Last
okay,
one.
Okay, okay.
I need a noun.
Freedom fries.
Another noun.
Pineapple bubble butt. That's not a noun. Don't write that down.
Okay.
My noun is an angry child.
A verb.
Bitch slap.
Verb.
Squat.
Verb.
Oh. Watch. Peek on your parents.
Noun.
Fat. Cat.
Verb.
Salt. Salty. No, that's
no,
an adjective.
That's an adjective.
Getting salty.
Verb.
Ugh. Okay.
We're almost there.
Rage quit.
And a famous person.
Oh, okay. Obviously, Nicolas Cage.
All right. So the final card that we're going to Flavor Text Theater here,
yeah,
is Scour from Existence. Our people and our very lands disappear as if they never were. We no longer fight for glory or honor. We battle now for the right to exist. General Tazari, Allied Commander.
Wow.
Very, very deep words. I think ours are deeper.
I agree.
Our freedom fries and our very angry child bitch slap as if they never squat. We no longer peek on your parents for fat cats or honor. We get salty now for the right to rage quit. Nicolas Cage, Allied Commander.
We get salty now for the right to rage quit.
Everyone,
oh, so good.
This has been another set of Mad Libs.
Magic the Mad Libbing.
And again, thank you so much to Vicky for the pack of Battle for Zendikar that allowed us to bring you that Mad Libs. check in next week. We're going to be cracking a pack of cold snaps that we got from a listener as well at GP Madison, which we are very excited to crack and see what the heck.
I know nothing about cold snap.
We know nothing, so we're also going to bring you a little history segment about what the heck
is cold
snap.
Oh, yeah, we used to do a segment called history shit. That's going to happen. No. Great.
So there you go. Tune in next week. We now have given you two teaser trailers about
it. Yeah, I agree.
Deal with it.
Well, it's now time for us to rage quit this episode.
We get salty for our right to rage quit this episode.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you liked anything you heard, why don't you support us on Patreon? We just hit a new mark on Patreon, by the way. So we're going to start doing a new show once a month, Magic the Pro the Ring. More information about that to come, but we're very excited. So thank you from the bottom of our magic hearts for everybody who's donated and supported our show. Even at $1, you make a big difference. So
I really do.
Thank you so much. We're going to have a whole bunch of great, awesome pro players guesting on Magic the Pro the Ring. I'm really excited for some of our guests.
Very excited.
So, stay tuned for that. And if you're not a supporter, consider joining our family. We would love to have you. If you get anything out of the show at all, you also get some sweet rewards.
As always, follow us at MTAcast on Twitter. Tweet us your tweet thoughts. Could we love to hear from people.
Yeah.
Send us an email, magictheamaturing@gmail.com. Find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm horny_unicorny.
Check out our website, magictheamaturing.com, for some draft videos coming up soon.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. You can also listen to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, themetery.org, and of course, magictheamaturing.com. Until next week, go fuck yourself, you luck sack, you top deck that!